Hello and welcome to the Winners Never Quit podcast, hosted by myself, Jack Jarvis. And again, I'm joined by the boys that I'm going to be rowing the North Atlantic with. Nutty, you all right, mate?
How's it going? All right.
Brucey.
Yo.
And Adam. So last time we left off, we spoke a little bit about our upcoming crossing. And I think the perfect place to start would be to update everyone about the boat. So recently, I have just returned from America and we had the boat delivered from Florida up to Maryland at my auntie's house. And instead of excitement, I remember seeing the boat and just thinking, Jesus Christ, it needs a lot of work. Boys, you've seen the pictures of it. The only thing I can compare it to is when you got it back from the Bahamas, mate. It's full of water and, yeah, it doesn't look great. Got to be honest.
Maybe worse.
Yeah, maybe worse, yeah. What did we find on it? Found two geckos, one frog, and the main cabin is full under about 6 inches of water. So,
yeah, Jack sent us a picture in the group chat saying he was quite fond of all the wildlife that you found
that
day. And then the next morning we got a sad message. Sorry, lads, the gecko's not made it through the night.
Yeah, they all died. Bless them. So yeah, that's sort of an update on the boat. And we've just finished.
Did you do any work while you're over there? Or
yeah, did a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to take any accountability. I'm going to blame everyone else, like the guy that delivered the boat late. But so far, taking the battery out, the old battery, because that's now US, giving it a clean, got what can only be described as half a forest off the boat, a lot of, because what was the hurricane that was in?
Oh, yeah, there's that mental hurricane down in Florida a few months back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine that did the boat much good.
Nah. So got rid of all that, giving it a clean. Update-wise, boat needs full electric refit. The hatches need fixing, and I think that's it, isn't it?
We need two batteries.
Two batteries, yeah.
And then cabin hatches, that's it.
We need to get some cushions made as well.
Mm. Yeah, very important.
Yeah. I was actually looking through, I was showing Flan, he's off camera, by the way, some pictures of from the Bahamas, bro. My ass was in bits, mate.
Those seats aren't very forgiving.
Oh, what, the rowings and slider seats?
Yeah, because me and Nutty used that boat on our previous Mid-Atlantic crossing. And, lads' arses were in a bad way by the end because we lost all our cushions.
You've got a recommendation for new seats, haven't you, that you want?
Yeah, so Jack's got a different one. I think it's quite popular now, the one Jack recommends. I've heard good things about it, though.
Yeah, the venti seat covers.
Yeah.
But I don't know how my mate found out about them, but geezers, so people in wheelchairs, apparently that's what they use. And
yeah, I imagine
makes
they
sense.
Spend.
Well, yeah, they spend
a lot of time sitting down as well.
Well, yeah, if you're paralysed from the waist down.
Yeah.
No comment.
No. Yeah. Well. No. Yeah.
So how are we getting them over?
Mate, they're only cushions. Okay. So yeah, they're pretty. They're pretty sweet.
Got an airplane then, won't they?
Yeah. They will. They will.
Oh, have you taken receipt of that new oar? That'd be difficult to get to the States because it's 3 meters.
I was actually wondering, and I forgot to mention it, but yes, how are we going to get the oars over?
Cheers for cracking that, mate. Just as
I feel like this is an off-camera conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really think about that because obviously a lot of this is another. So in the world of ocean rowing, there's different options. So the majority of people leave from the Canaries, which is super easy. You can literally tow your boat from the UK down to the Canaries. If you're going to leave from America, the boats have to be shipped. Our boat's already over there. Which causes a sort of another set of problems. Yes, the boat's over there. That's cost we don't have to cover. But then things like food, oars.
Can't preload it with anything.
Can't preload, yeah. So that's a bridge we'll have to cross.
We'll sort it out.
We'll sort it out.
Yeah.
So we've got a few things to sort of enlighten you about ocean rowing. And the first question I'm going to ask the boys is, what is the one thing you're looking forward to on the crossing? Nutty, if we want to start with you.
I'd probably say just being out of contact with everything, just switching your phone off and not having your phone anywhere near you, that sort of thing. I like that sort of feeling of remoteness.
Because you're a pucker loner.
The idea of all of your biggest problems in the day being right in front of you, not abstract issues like a mortgage or electricity bills or relationships. It's just everything's right in front of you.
And all you have to do is row.
Sleep, eat.
Yeah. How nice is that?
Don't be a prick to your mates on the boat and row, yeah.
Yeah. It's, mate, that is one of the best things. That's one of the things I enjoyed. Obviously, I did my first crossing solo. And you always get asked, oh, do you not miss people? But it's actually really good, like to be able to switch your phone off and then you dictate when you speak to people. I mean, my mum would have liked to live stream to speak to me fucking 24/7. But yeah, it was fucking deez.
Yeah, I'm going to have my phone. The only person I'll talk to while I'm on the road, I reckon, is your girlfriend, and that's it.
Fucking, ooh, big bag. You fucking piece of shit. I'll speak to you afterwards. Yeah, Brucey, what about you, mate?
Yeah, so in a strange sort of masochistic way, I'm looking forward to getting in the thick of it in the high seas of the North Atlantic. That remote is a hell of an experience.
Yeah, the contrast of the easier conditions and the really tough conditions and how that will play on your emotions as the days turn into weeks is going to be, yeah, an exciting, more exciting with nostalgia, I'm sure, but also enjoyable in the moment.
Nah, definitely more exciting with nostalgia. Yeah. Because you said the other day, mate, and you were like, yeah, the closer it gets, the more excited I get. And I was like, see, I'm the other way. Like, the closer it gets, I'm like, fuck, 12 hours.
I'm nervous, mate.
Already. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, ah, Jesus.
Do you know what it is for me? It's the idea of when we were, you know, we decided on this, what, a year ago almost. When you're a year out, 6 months out, you could easily be like, oh, I'm injured, lads, or I can't do it. Sorry, something's come up. I'm getting married.
Yeah. Can you believe it? It's my brother's bar mitzvah. Yeah. You're not even Jewish.
And that is like how I always, you know, with exams or any stresses in life, I'll be nervous in the run-up to it. And then as soon as you're in, you know, game mode, it's like, okay, the task is in front of you. There's no excuses. You get on with it. Yeah. And now we're creeping into that territory with, what, 4 months out, whereby it's getting closer. And it's like, well, you know, the same way when we're 3 days off Manhattan after we've started rowing, we'll be like, we're in this now, boys. Yeah. Like, crack on. And then there's no time for nerves or fear then, is there?
Because so, yeah, you're doing it.
Yeah, because you're in it. I was going to say, it will be, the cusp is like that helicopter rescue range.
Yeah.
As soon as you're out of,
that yeah, is when. Explain that. What, like,
yeah, when yeah, yeah, it. For sure. So it's just, it's a helicopter rescue range is the maximum range a helicopter can get out to rescue you. And it's normally when it's the do or die moment, because, like, you know yourself and Nutty have just said, because once you pass that, you know, it's not as easy to get rescued. You're going to have to get rescued from a ship, which you think you're a small ocean rowing boat. You're probably, what, 2 metres off the water. These ships can be, you know, how high?
30, 40 metres.
Is this North Atlantic even a busy shipping lane anyway? Probably shouldn't know about that, but... You probably could be days in certain moments. I think you could be days away from a potential rescue.
Reykjavik or something like that, I'd assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greenland and also UK from Americas. Yeah.
Oh, it must be. We must be Europe. Fairly.
The only way to get to Europe from, well, the best way to get to Europe from North America is that route. So, yeah.
Into the Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
Did you see about that plane? 8 hours back from.
Oh, yeah. Sent that in that storm. Group chat, yeah.
I was literally, I'm looking at that storm. Thinking, please, baby, one of those be kicking off, mate, when we go across, mate. That'll be unreal.
Yeah. Mm.
So we've talked about what we're looking forward to.
One other thing as well. Animals. Might be some cool whales at some point, because we're tracing along.
People always ask this question. People are obsessed with wildlife.
But it would be amazing. So obviously we're tracing along the northeast of Canada, and so there might be an opportunity for a variety of species of whales. And as Jack experienced on his ocean row, the closer you are to land, the more wildlife you see. So as we're leaving the US and Canada, we might see some exciting stuff, get joined on the boat.
Did you see that guy that got swallowed by a humpback whale?
Yes. Yeah. That kayaker.
Yeah.
Not swallowed.
He did. He got spat out again,
mate. Spat out, I think.
Yeah. He was in the mouth, at least.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Can you imagine not getting that on film?
Not keen.
Can you imagine that happens to you and didn't get it on film?
Yeah.
They were so calm about it.
No one would believe you, would they?
He didn't seem that bothered.
No, his oppo was just like that. Tranquilo. Yeah. What was he saying?
Yeah,
tranquilo. Tranquilo. I was like, you know, maybe paddle over and help him, mate. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're talking to me or to the whale? Yeah. I don't think the whale speaks Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Wild, mate. Were,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Did you say it's not a Spanish whale?
No, I said it depends where the whale was.
Yeah.
It could have been a Spanish whale, yeah. Anyway.
I think they move around, mate.
They do, yeah.
I don't know, Bruce, Antarctica. Did you boys see a lot of wildlife and did it improve? Right?
On our row or on the Antarctic trip?
No, obviously on the row.
Oh, yeah, one whale sighting, mate. Yeah.
Big fin whale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just followed us for 3 days. more curious than I think. Than,
yeah, like I remember when it obviously happened to mine, you're buzzing, you're like, wow, this is amazing. And then it happens like a second time, and you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. And then by the third time, I didn't even stop rowing.
I just
there's a pod of dolphins again. Is that ungrateful? Probably.
Yeah.
Makes you sound like an arsehole. But yeah, yeah.
Human mind works, isn't it?
Right, so that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
So we had sort of like the alone time, you know, the wildlife, the enjoying the pain. And then what are we least looking forward to? We'll start with Adam.
I'm confident that the thing that I'm least looking forward to is broken sleep, because I've done it in various capacities throughout my life, especially including on the Bahamas.
But you were a grumpy boy, weren't you?
I can be a grumpy boy, yeah. I've never had an extended period.
Trying to crack a few jokes to keep the morale high at 3 a.m, Adam's just like, yeah. Oh, mate, okay, we just won't talk for this shit.
That's exactly how it goes, yeah. I'm not a talker in the night. Yeah.
Do you want any sweets, mate? No. Okay.
I mean, it affects your recovery, affects your hormones, your mood. And so, yeah, stomach those night shifts, get on with them. But how that manifests, from what you boys have said, you know, the first week getting used to the ocean is the hardest, and then you kind of settle into that routine off the back of it. But I think that the broken sleep for me is going to be huge. And this is probably, everyone else I've spoken to is probably not on their radar at all, but I like showering every day. I actually find it really enjoyable. So it's going to be, I'm sure you get used to not.
Well, I'm a pongo, so I don't shower every day. Get that one in there before you two said it.
Nutty just went, oh, you shower every day.
I wasn't going to mention it.
So,
the smell speaks for itself.
Yeah. And it's, even when we're in the Bahamas, I know it's different conditions when we're sweating, so that makes it easier what we're doing now. It's nice to get that fresh water on you. So that'll be toughish. Food is no concern at all, and the rowing, you just get on with it, don't you?
Not because I've sorted us those Love Corns. You're welcome. Thank you to Love Corn, who sent us like 1,000 packets. We do appreciate it.
At least one of us does.
Yeah. Adam was like that. Why have you bothered with them? I was like, mate, we've got
calories per packet.
80 per packet.
You use more calories.
No, it's not celery. It's not watercress. But did you boys try them? Obviously, gave you a pack earlier. I don't know if you've
still
tried them.
Yeah.
No.
They are actually.
Try when I'm really hungry.
Yeah. Day two, mate. That's all we've got at the minute.
Brucey.
Yeah, go on, Brucey.
I was just thinking about it. Really sure.
You enjoy it all.
Like, it's good. Yeah, I'm kind of like, it's grimly fascinated in a grim way about the whole thing, but I know it's going to be pretty shit when you're in a rough patch and everything, like the inside of the cabin, everything's wet and you're wet, sleeping in a puddle for like a week on end before you get to, it gets a bit calmer and you dry everything out. But yeah, I'm sure there's moments of it where it's going to be pretty bad, but I'm kind of looking forward to that as well, really.
See how dry we can keep the cabins, yeah?
Yeah, fingers crossed. So in my boat, I was lucky, I had a bit of a, you came in my boat, didn't you? There's like almost like a wet, dry area. So you can like get in there and then you could get on your pit.
Nice.
Mate.
Especially
that
bow cabin, mate. There's nowhere to get changed. Like wet kit is in there, mate.
Yeah,
it gets pretty damp, mate.
Yeah. I'm thinking we could even put, well, it's off camera conversation, but we could put Fowleys, if you're transferring and not using the same equipment not in the bow cabin, just so you don't get water in there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's like people don't understand. It's hard to explain that coffin cabin. It is unbelievable. It's the size of a coffin, isn't it? It's so small. And
so the bow section, it fits like your sort of chest and shoulders in. Then you've got a little smarty tube that runs under the hull of the boat for your waist and legs.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty tight. Yeah.
And the thing that I didn't appreciate, which no one watching will appreciate either, is as well, when we did that first stint in the Bahamas, it was only one night. It was like, what, 36, maybe 48 hours on the water. Stepped on land and couldn't walk already. And I was like, how the hell am I not able to walk already after such a short amount of time? And then it obviously dawns on you, because you don't actually stand up at all on the boat. Mm-hmm. It's so small and unstable. If you don't know how you go to the toilet as well, we'll cover that at some point as well. But you don't actually stand up and walk at any point, because you're constantly 3 points of contact everywhere in order to stabilize. So you actually forget how to walk and stand up in a straight line. So that's going to be mental as well.
Yeah. That I always say it. And I was convinced like I wasn't going in the water. And everyone's like, oh my God, you thought this when I come off the boat. And I was like, shut up, mum. Like, what are you talking about? Then I looked at the footage and I am literally like that, falling over. Like, can't even stand up. Got this flare.
When you finish.
Yeah, when I finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it...
I'm thinking about that moment where you step on the pontoon in Southampton and you can't stand up and you're like, everyone wants to shake your hand and you're like...
When Junior got off the boat in the Canaries on our one, I thought he was joking, mate. He's like spider monkeying around the floor. Yeah. And I was like, well, fuck, it can't be that bad. Steps off the boat and I'm like, fucking up. So I fell on my knees immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Crawling around like a monkey.
Yeah. Literally. What am I least looking forward to? That, yeah, being just piss-wrapped constantly. Because so we spoke to a guy, Tom, and he basically described the North Atlantic as UK in the autumn. And I think that's what I'm going to struggle with. Not struggle with, but what I'm going to like the least. Because no one likes being piss-wrapped the whole time, do they? Mm. Like, it does suck. And the difference between my first crossing... At least in the middle of the day, mate, you get pretty warm, don't you?
Might be too hot.
Yeah, it is too hot. Like, you actually look forward to those rain showers.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, being cold, wet, you know.
I think you would...
What's that? Yeah. The Rifles. Swift and Bold, shite and cold. That could be cold. The saying.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Sorry, Jake, if you listen, that's my mate. It's in the Rifles. go on, mate.
I think it's the coffin cabin for me at the front of the boat. Not keen. Especially being 6 foot one. It's not a very comfortable place to be at all.
You've got to learn to sleep on your back pretty quickly, don't you?
Yeah.
Controversially, I almost prefer the coffin cabin because it's tight and miserable.
Because you're like 5 foot five.
Yeah, that helps, isn't it? Yeah, I'm only little. But you have no respect. All you do is sleep.
He's there doing cartwheels. This is awesome, boys.
Yeah, you just get to sleep and receive food. Like in the stern cabin, they do all the boat jobs, all the navigating, all the cooking and passing food to the front cabin.
Mm.
The lack of responsibility is what you're after, yeah.
We moved house every 5 days. I think we should do it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
who's going to start in the main cabin, but the aft cabin and the bow cabin?
I don't know, just rock off for it.
Yeah,
I guess.
We'll soon be swapping, so.
Yeah, 5 days in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be better to get the coffin cabin out of the way first.
Could be not in the stiller water, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just trying to think. I'm like, you're going through the worst. They say the worst part of rowing an ocean's the first 5 days. So I don't know. Is it better just to get?
Yeah, true.
To get the coffin cabin, have a really bad first 5 days. You know, and then you know at least you've got that to look forward to. But if you start in the good cabin, you've had a tough 5 days anyway.
But those 5 days will fly past.
I think while the coffin's all I know, I'll maybe start in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any better.
Yeah, fair one, yeah.
You'll move house and be like, wow. Yeah.
This is so fun. Let's do another one, boys.
Yeah. It reminds me of that dog that got sent to space by the Russians. He's like bolted in this little, like a tiny little window in this little capsule.
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. They sent the chimpanzee to space as well, didn't they?
I've probably sent loads of stuff like that.
Ruskies, bless them. Absolutely nuts. Right.
What else is on the list?
Let's go for the next question. What do you think you will miss the most while at sea? Starting with you, Brucey.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Probably miss quite a lot. It's like the general comforts of normal life. But then you learn to appreciate them more than you otherwise would have done, so it's not the end of the world.
Mate, that's so true. I remember when I come back, I was like, I'm not going to complain, not going to whinge, not going to bitch, not going to moan. Week after being back in the UK, I'm like, God, this traffic is horrific.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, God, someone just cut me up. Like, you soon forget, but nonetheless.
I'm enjoying preemptively knowing how grim it's going to be. And I've actually, over the last few months, wake up from a full night's sleep and be like, that was delightful. I'm not going to have one of them very soon. You know, I'm going to have a month and a half of not having a full night's sleep. Or when you're sitting eating a hot meal when you know it's coming. It's actually been, I've quite enjoyed that. I've taken the smaller things for granted a bit more than I otherwise would have. So, yeah, just got to try and hold on to that afterwards as well.
I'm just looking at you and smiling and thinking about those spaghetti and meatballs we had, mate. And you were like, this is mechanical chicken. What was this? I remember tucking into one. I was like, this is pretty good.
The ingredient literally said mechanical chicken.
You definitely eat a lot clean. Like, I can eat clean.
I didn't mind that stuff.
What I mean is, like, I'll equally eat like crap, you know, and I'll be like, well, I've quite enjoyed this. What am I going to miss?
It was only like day three or four where I was like, yeah, these aren't ideal anymore. When you start getting the acid reflux, you're like, this is not fit for human consumption.
We didn't touch the spam, but there were still tins of spam on there when I got the boat back.
How did it go?
I was like, I thought about cracking them, but I was just so demoralised looking at the boat and it just looking like a... It looked like a crack den. Like, when I opened that door,
yeah,
looked like a crack den that washing machine had leaked. Like, and I was just like, so, you know when you like just threaders and you're like, so much work, and my missus was there as well, and she was like, it's not that bad. And I was like, oh, you're not going to live in it for 43 days.
Yeah.
Take those. What am I going to miss? Well, obviously, going to miss my girlfriend. And then probably going to miss Adam's fit. Flan good. Even laughed at that one. He knows. Sorry, I had to get you back. I've been sat here stewing.
I was thinking about saying it again. Yeah. And you said what you're going to miss.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do it twice.
Yeah.
Everyone will think I've got a thing with his girlfriend.
No, I'm sure he hasn't. Anyway, quickly moving on. What are you going to miss, Natalie?
I'm going to miss... Oh. Cut a tea and a fry up.
What about your pet lizard?
Yeah, of course.
She's going to be absolutely fuming if she listens to this. She's referred to it as a pet lizard.
I got told her for calling him a pet lizard the other day.
Oh, it's a term of endearment, isn't it?
Well, that's what I said to her.
I love
obviously Miss Kelly quite a lot.
Kelly is his missus, by the way, not his pet reptile. Mate, I said that to Charlotte the other day, right? Because me and Charlotte would obviously do stuff when we're in private. And I'll do it in public because I don't really like getting embarrassed that easily. I've started calling her my kitten whiskers and she is like that. Will you fucking shut the fuck up? Like around her granddad. Yeah. Boys, that is, see, 20 minutes just flown by there. So let's stop it there. Keep everyone hooked. And please tune in for episode 4, which will be part 2 of this episode. Thank you very much for watching. Cheers.
Refill these.